Very often, we link skepticism to the events surrounding what is called the Enlightenment of the 18th century. That period of time in which human reason becomes the touchstone for human life. And everything is, if you will, viewed under the light of reason. And yet we find in the gospel story today an immense amount of skepticism. These people had heard the words of Jesus. And their reaction was, these are very difficult words. Who is able to accept them? Jesus tells them that they need to push beyond the barrier of human reason. That they need to push beyond the barrier of the physical. That's what those words, the spirit gives life, the flesh is useless. What those words really mean is that it is through the non-physical that one is going to discover the truth, that the physical has limitations that will not allow an individual to understand the words he's speaking. Skepticism, in its best form, gives rise to a kind of humanism, a wonderful kind of understanding of the human person and of the world in which we live. This understanding is very often called secular humanism. The human being is seen in all his or her grandeur as the most noble expression of the created universe. The person's capacity to know and to understand, the person's capacity to grapple with the mysteries of the universe, those qualities are extolled, and those qualities are honed and developed. The secular humanist understands very clearly that no person is an island, that there is a solidarity that binds human beings together, that reduces, if you will, this globe to a global village. The secular humanist appreciates that democratic principles are liberating and freeing for the human being, and that the human person is made for freedom, is made for self-determination, and that every effort to free a human being, to be self-determining, to make choices and to assume responsibility, is ennobling of the person. All of that and so much more are the tenets that undergird what is called secular humanism. And everything that I have just spoken about is certainly something all of us can put our arms around, can not only accept, but can champion. There is a shortcoming, though, in secular humanism in that it sees nothing more than this life. And for the secular humanist, all that is what you and I experience. For the secular humanist, life ends here for you and for me. For the secular humanist, the only way a human being goes on beyond death is in the lives of those who survive family and friends, and in the deeds one has done, the noble deeds that ennoble the lives of others and better the life of humanity. The way a person lives after physical death is in other people, in their hearts and in their minds, in their courage and in their conscience. Well, that's precisely the challenge that is present in the gospel today. Jesus is saying there is something beyond what you can see. There is something beyond where reason can take you. He says, I am the living bread come down from heaven. If you eat this bread, you will live forever. And the bread I will give you is my flesh for the life of the world. For my flesh is real food and my blood real drink. And the person who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in that person. Your ancestors ate manna in the desert and they died. The person who eats this bread will live forever. And in reaction to that, not a few, but the scriptures say many people said, this is too difficult. We can't accept this. And they returned to their former way of life and they no longer traveled with him. Well, you and I are called to see beyond physical sight. We're called to see the world and ourselves in the world in a way that is only possible through the Spirit, that is only possible through faith. We are called to a kind of Christian humanism. In the 16th century, it was St. Thomas More, St. John Fisher, Erasmus of Rotterdam, and so many other writers and thinkers and teachers who offered a slice on life that allowed people to look at this wonderful world and to look at the grandeur of the human person and to see that through the eyes of faith. You know, from the very beginning, philosophers and thinkers have sought to describe the perfection of the human person. For the person of faith, the perfection of the human person is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the fullness of what it is to be a human being. Jesus Christ not only reveals to us the face of God, but Jesus Christ reveals to us our own identity. We are made in the very image and the likeness of God, and we do have a destiny that calls us into union with God. And none of this takes away anything from that marvelous picture, from that marvelous image that the secular humanist provides for us of what it is to be a human being and the grandeur of human life. What it does, though, it leads us to recognize that in embracing all of that, we also embrace and step beyond and embrace the truth that human beings are made for eternal life. That in no way denigrates reason, that in no way cheapens our understanding of the created universe, that in no way limits the wonder of human will, free will, and responsibility. What it does is it acknowledges at the base of all of our appreciation of life is the truth that you and I have a destiny. You and I are made for the fullness of life. So that skepticism that was present in the gospel, that skepticism continues through the centuries. It takes a different twist, a different turn at various times in history, but it's there. It's the limits that human beings place upon reality. It's the limits that human beings establish by saying, all that is what I can see, or I can touch, or I can taste, or I can measure, or I can reason to. That's the limit of existence. You and I are invited to see all of that, but also to see the source of life and the gift that comes to us in Jesus Christ.